Hi, this is Tony Coomer. I'm the creator of MinistryToChildren.com. In today's podcast, I have on the phone with me Brian Haynes. Now, Brian Haynes, most of you will know, was the author of a book called Shift, which really propelled some of the latest thinking in family ministry to the forefront. Well, Brian is back with a new book called The Legacy Path, and I wanted to record this podcast to talk with him a little bit about that. So, Brian, thanks for taking the time to talk with me.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
Well, hey, just real quick, can you tell me what the idea is behind your new book, The Legacy Path?
To make it short, the idea is simply to get a tool in parents' hands so that they can understand kind of where to step next in this whole leading your child spiritually journey, and especially for churches who have adopted milestones or shift principles to a degree, that they have a tool that they can hand to parents to help them quickly understand the big picture and how they can partner with their church.
Now, in my own church and probably my own life, it seems like there's kind of two alternating types of parents. And, you know, there's those parents who are sometimes really excited about passing on the legacy of faith to their children, and they're all about family worship. And then there's parents who just are struggling to make it through. How does this new book address those two very polar opposites that are existing in the church and sometimes in our own lives?
Well, I think you're exactly right in your identification of those groups. And I'd say there's also probably a middle-of-the-road group as well that's kind of semi-motivated, doing some things right, well, and all that. The book really hopefully gives everybody a starting point. You know, I think the things that I'm asking parents to do, like capturing God moments, just being aware of what God's doing around them and pointing it out to their kids, is not a huge difficulty. It's something I think everybody can do. With Faith Talk, you know, we're asking parents to think about doing that one time a week. And, you know, everybody does that differently. You've got that upper kind of 20% of families that turn that into that whole family worship experience. You probably got, in my practice, in my house, it's more of a Starbucks meeting or a walk to the park. It's a conversation around the scripture, but it's more casual and relaxed. And then for the ones that are really just struggling, they'd say, you know, I don't have time for a faith talk. I don't have time for this. I think that's where you start, where you can start, you know, which is, it's just the God moments and capturing those as you have time with your kids. And so, yeah, some people are going to pick it up and do it all right and well, you know, right away. And then other people are going to say, I can't do that. And I think if you're in that I can't do that camp, then you start with baby steps. You know, what could you do to be intentional that you're not doing at this point? And where I point those parents to all the time is God moments. Let's just become aware of what God's doing and help our kids see it.
Well, you know, I just read from the census data earlier this month that there's just a huge percentage of kids now with grandparents. They're either living with grandparents or them and their mom are living with the grandparents. And this is more of a trend in our culture where families don't look like we imagine sometimes on Sunday morning. How does the material in the Legacy Path, how would that apply to maybe a non-traditional home, say a single mom living with her parents and two little boys? How would the Legacy Path apply to that kind of family?
Yeah, we see that practically play out all the time and lots of different kinds of ways and different kinds of families. But in your particular example, you know, if you have what I continue to tell people is you really these principles can work if you have one adult in a home committed to Christ and committed to leading kids spiritually. And so it doesn't really matter, you know, a mom and a dad or a single mom and grandparents or a grandparent with spiritually AWOL adult children who aren't leading their grandchildren spiritually. They can apply these principles from their different perspectives, their different angles. I just think they have to be willing to adapt to their situation. A lot of the illustrations and examples that I use are from my own experience, which is more of a traditional, you know, married to one wife and we have three kids and, you know, we work on it together. But my ministry you know, kind of local church ministry is much more, hey, how do I help you? How do I help you, single mom, pull this off without dad around? And it looks different in different places, but the principles certainly apply across the board. Maybe not the illustrations, but definitely the principles. And I could point to many single moms, in fact, that do this well. And it's not easy. And I would say that they struggle with it, especially when they get to certain milestones like rite of passage, you know, milestone 5, and they have to adapt. So they end up, you know, pulling in that, if we're talking about that particular milestone, they end up pulling in student workers, youth pastors, you know, volunteer leadership that have invested, played an important role in their son's life. They just adapt. And that's what you have to do in those situations. We also see it. I see the plan being used with grandparents all the time whose kids are spiritually AWOL. And they may not have their grandkids 24/7, but when they do have them, how can they use God moments? You know, how can they spur their grandkids toward milestones? Or if their grandkids live with them, they're just empowered to lead spiritually when they have a plan.
Well, I was talking I guess a few months back with Dr. Timothy Paul Jones from Southern, and I know you know him, and yeah, you speak at their conference down in Louisville. And one of the things he kept raising for me, which is I hadn't heard lately, is how in some churches this focus on family ministry and can in some ways take the place of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Where if we think that having a family structure that is passing on legacy and doing all these things right, if that somehow is going to solve all the problems at our church and solve all the problems in our lives, in some subtle way we've kind of replaced the gospel ministry with family ministry. And I know that's kind of an extreme thing, but it might subtly happen in the minds of some churches, who then the end result is you're looking around, you know, pastors excited that a nice family visits on Sunday morning rather than a broken family. What are some things you would recommend for churches or ministry leaders to kind of guard against that?
I don't know if you know much of my personal story, but I recently left Kingsland Baptist Church, where I was associate pastor overseeing spiritual formation and driving family ministry, to become a lead pastor in a different church here in our city. And so I'm looking at the whole family ministry scenario from a different chair now, which has been really interesting. And one of the things that God has done in my heart in that is really convey to me a sense of balance, that while attacking kind of the family ministry question and equipping families and all that is important, certainly gospel-centered, gospel-driven ministry is clearly more important. And you can see that, like, even if we've clarified our mission statement here at Bay Area, where I am now, and you know, our mission statement is that we make disciples, equip families, and serve the world with the gospel. And so I think you have to keep it in perspective, and I think you have to keep it in balance. Equipping families is certainly a part of discipleship and a part of serving the world with the gospel. But churches cannot be a family-only kind of strategy. You know, the milestones that you see laid out, it has to be a part of making disciples. And when family is involved, we have to equip whoever the primary faith trainer is to disciple their kids. But it can't take the place of the gospel, and it can't take the place of brokenness. And even my practical experience at Kingsland, and then also just beginning here, what I would note is that the more we say we're helping families, the more broken families we ended up reaching out to. And I think you have to be you have to work hard to say, on the one hand, we're equipping families. On the other hand, your brokenness is welcome here. I mean, you have to communicate that clearly, because you don't want to become the church of 2.2 kids and a dog, because that's not even the majority out there anymore, certainly in my city. And I'm not trying to make families that are 2.2 kids and a dog as much as I am taking families in the existence that they currently find themselves because of brokenness and sin and all that, and help them move from point A to point B in their relationship with Christ, and help them become a good vehicle for spiritual formation for the next generation.
I think people need to hear that, especially us younger guys whose kids are still all in the nice, neat elementary ages before life tears us apart. Well, hey, Brian, I want to thank you so much for talking with us and for writing these two helpful books. I'm going to point people to your blog, legacyblog.org. That's your personal blog, and they've got updates on stuff. And there's a lot of other bloggers this week who are doing interviews with you on their site. I'm going to link all those. And then also legacymilestones.com, and that's the website that lays out these seven legacy milestones that you teach as part of the Legacy Path book. And obviously people can get your book on Amazon or through your website and such. So, Brian, thanks so much for taking the time, and I trust that the Lord's going to bless your ministry and do some amazing things through this movement.
Thank you, Tony, and the Lord bless you, man.